We are all here today because we are trying to find God in people. That is where God truly resides in spirit. We Christians are celebrating a wonderful day today. We're celebrating the Spirit of God, Pentecost. Well, the Spirit of God is given to people so that human beings could stand upright and be treated with dignity and walk with dignity throughout life. They are not meant to be trashed by individuals or by a society, and yet that is what we see happening in our times. Did you know that we're walking through a gated community just now? The mentality of people who want to remove, eradicate, take away, either tear it down or move it out by barge out of this community is because we don't want poor people. They shouldn't be in a gated community. Gated community is for people of status and power and wealth. Poor people don't belong there. So let's move them on out. We don't want to tempt them to come in with buildings that have some quality to them. I live in Hunter's Point. My church, the people I serve, is Hunter's Point. If this city, if this government, if the state, if the federal government wants to do something about housing that should be torn down, come to Hunter's Point and tear down some of the rotten places that are standing there.
And you're listening to one of 400 people who gathered on May 18, 1997 at the San Francisco Presidio, one of the religious witness for the homeless who marched in the Presidio and occupied a piece of housing in order to preserve 466 units of housing due to be torn down so that housing might be turned over to homeless people. This is the latest in a series of demonstrations over the last few years to alert the citizenry of San Francisco to demand that the government of the United States, which controls this housing, release it rather than destroy it or relocate it. So the Presidio began around 1 o'clock on Sunday, May 18th, and we're going to be following that demonstration from where it began with a crowd estimated at 400 people, the largest such homeless demonstration that I really have seen in many a moon, to where it concluded with the arrest of over 40 people, myself included. 60 others were turned away from the jail, so to speak. But it made quite an impact on me, and I hope it will have an impact on you. We're also going to be following developments in other California cities around anti-homeless laws as much as we can cram into this next 45 minutes. If you have anything to add to this show, you're welcome to give a call to us at 408-423-4833. We are a recorded show, but if you want to be a part of the next show, and the show happens weekly, broadcast from Santa Cruz on Sundays at 11 o'clock every Sunday, and we'll be broadcasting on your local micro-broadcasting station wherever that schedule can fit it in. But if you want to give us a call on homelessness in your city, do so, and we'll fit in your commentary in a future show.
If anybody here is considering risking arrest and have not already signed in at the table over there, please do so. We'll have a wonderful Walk for Peace with Justice. Thanks for being here.
Hi, I'm not Reverend Norman Fong, who is busy with a congregational matter this afternoon. I'm Reverend Kay Jorgensen from the First Unitarian Universalist Church in San Francisco. And this is our invitation to walk, each personal invitation to step by step and prayerfully go the journey from here and then to caravan to the weary housing. I am going to give you instructions as to how. Can you hear now? I am going to give. Now can you hear? This is important to be heard. Okay? Right, okay. So these are the instructions and the path along the journey that we are going to take. As you can see in your order of service, we will make some stops. So in the beginning, we will march through the Presidio to near Letterman Hospital, and it totally will be 8 blocks long. 2 blocks to the chapel, at which time we will stop for a moment of prayerful reflection. 2 more blocks to the officers' housing, and then 4 blocks to the last stop before our caravan to Wherry Housing.
And the march proceeded as described, except The last four blocks were never marched. Instead, demonstrators, in a lightning tactic or a spontaneous move, occupied the officers' housing, one of the buildings there that another demonstrator had opened up, and that became the focus of the demonstration.
Radio San Francisco. I'm here to kind of cover it for Free Radio Santa Cruz, this rally demonstration, as well as to add my ample body to the many bodies that are about to be marching to Weary or wandering to Weary housing to stop the demolition. And what about you? What brings you here?
Well, this is hot news. I'm here to cover this for San Francisco Liberation Radio.
You're here to be arrested for San Francisco Liberation Radio?
I'm not prepared to do that, no. But I am here as a reporter covering this, because this is exactly the kind of news we cover.
What is Liberation Radio's number?
93.7. And I'm very glad to be here today, because I think this is a very vital issue for the community of San Francisco.
Well, here's security guards. Estimating at least 400 people here so far.
Okay.
I was thinking maybe 300, but
all right, now that you're lined up, what we will be doing is following
certainly somewhere several hundred anyway.
Banner.
Well, I better jump in line here before I get left behind.
All right. Thanks. Take care.
So here we are in line with the infamous Bob Pink and his cohorts. Bob is a little bit audio shy, but he's holding a sign that says, Shalom, Shalom. Linda Evans, what does that mean, Bob?
As I understand it, it's one of the homeless people that died in San Francisco during the year.
Interesting. Yeah. Because Linda Edwards is one of the homeless people who died in Santa Cruz 2 years ago.
That's sad.
So I guess we're still waiting for the parade to begin. Looks like at least 100, maybe more people in the parade.
Yeah. Well, we've got 100 people that have committed to be arrested, so we must have at least that number.
So we're beginning to walk. This isn't your first time, Bob. You've done this before.
I've done it a couple times, yeah.
And is this the largest one so far?
This is the largest one. We had 83 people that were arrested at the last one, and I think we're going to have, we have 110 committed today. So it looks like we're going over that number. Yeah. I think we've probably got about a couple hundred people.
The trial for the previous one?
I did, last time. And I took my sentence and did my alternative service up at the food kitchen. And then I found out the rest of the guys had their case dropped, so I moved too fast. But I enjoyed it. I love to go to the food kitchen.
Well, the worst thing I found was that they kept bringing you back to court again and again.
I know. I didn't want to do that.
It was just so time-consuming.
Yeah.
Of course, actually, we're not doing anything that injures anyone. Obviously, it's quite the opposite. But the amount of money they expended was just incredible.
But today is more serious, I guess, because last time they had a permit, but got rounded up, you know.
Right.
But
so
this time we'll definitely be trespassing.
Well, there's the lesson. Actually, Keith McHenry of Food Not Bombs found that they didn't bother him until he began to apply for a permit.
Yes.
Isn't that ironic? Speaking with Barbara Graves, we're at the front of the parade. Nice day, half sunny, half foggy, pleasant walking weather. It's the same walk you took last time.
No, we didn't get to do it last time because they arrested us in front of the
rounded up first.
Thanks for being there.
What's your name?
Chris.
Chris, who or what are you?
I didn't realize. Who am I talking to?
Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Oh, okay.
And you're with it. Are you just here as an individual or part of a really bigger group?
Well, I attend Congregation Bet Shalom. My rabbi's up there.
I saw there are a number of folks from Bet Shalom here.
I saw somebody else on the list. You know, somebody who had signed up. I don't know.
Is this? I'm actually with a group called HUF, United for Friendship and Freedom in Santa Cruz. Supporting. How long is this walk? I've got no idea where I'm walking or what I'm doing.
Well, I'm not sure what we're doing. Last time, what we wanted to do was we wanted to walk over to Weary Housing, but it's called Weary Housing because it's on Weary Street.
And we're all weary of this whole business.
No. And we wanted to point out along the way some very expensive housing that was renting for like $1,000 a month that was being rented. But somehow they weren't willing to let poor people move into the same neighborhood. But we never got to do that because they arrested us right in front of the Visitors Bureau.
Even though they had promised a permit.
The permit last time we couldn't accept because the permit said that we promised not to engage in civil disobedience.
Which, of course, was the whole point.
Exactly. And this is a group with a conscience, and they would not accept a permit which they knew they couldn't live up to.
So you might call the group QUAP, Conscience Without a Permit. Perhaps not.
But this time, I understand, they came over and offered the group a permit.
And did the group accept it?
Yeah. This time we have a permit.
Well, there's a change in a minute. No, there's the same administration, isn't it?
It doesn't say we will not engage in certain disobedience this time.
Right.
Otherwise, it would definitely accept it. You see, there were like 83 of us last time. And they're getting a little, it sort of clogs up the system.
I've got more here, I guess.
Here, I don't know if everybody here is going to be arrested.
At least it's we're all together at the moment. Thank you. The Dory Neal here, which, Dory, show me your sign again. It says, if ordinary citizens can rent officers' homes in the Presidio at fair market rentals of $2,000 to $4,000 a month, why can't less fortunate ones rent in Weary Housing at affordable rates? Yeah. The other side says, Weary Housing, cost to demolish $12 million, cost to fix up $3 million. People need affordable housing. You want to tell me anything about that?
Well, I am living in the shelter right now, in the Episcopal Sanctuary. Mm-hmm. And it's not a place I wanted to live because I'm sick.
But you're here.
That's why I'm here, because why? We cannot afford. For almost two years now, I've been trying to find an affordable place because the Kinnon Keep charged me 306 out of my 450 income. And when I asked for adjustment to 30% according to the law, they retaliated. When I tried to exercise my right, they retaliated by filing unlawful detainer. I could not win because I have no lawyer to help me.
What happened?
I'm back in the shelter again. I lived there before 14 months, and I live in Kinnon Keep when I don't have any income for 2 years and a half. I'm keeping paying $306 a month for my $450 income. It's not right. It's not just.
While simultaneously raising resources that rightfully belong to poor people. Oh, merciful God, forgive us.
Standing in front of. It's a place where people come to worship God. We are all here today because we are trying to find God in people. That is where God truly resides in spirit. We Christians are celebrating a wonderful day today. We're celebrating the Spirit of God, Pentecost. Well, the Spirit of God is given to people so that human beings could stand upright and be treated with dignity and walk with dignity throughout life. They are not meant to be trashed by individuals or by a society, and yet that is what we see happening in our times. Did you know that we're walking through a gated community just now? The mentality of people who want to remove, eradicate, take away, either tear it down or move it out by barge out of this community is because we don't want poor people. They shouldn't be in a gated community. Gated community is for people of status and power and wealth. Poor people don't belong there. So let's move them on out. We don't want to tempt them to come in with buildings that are treated, that have some quality to them. I live in Hunter's Point. My church, the people I serve, is Hunter's Point. If this city, if this government, if the federal government wants to do something about housing that should be torn down, come to Hunter's Point and tear down some of the rotten places that are standing there. If we are people who believe in a God who's working in our midst, then we have to first of all say, thank God that we are here. When I heard Sister Bernie talking about the people who was asking, well, where are the crowds? Well, I looked out of here. What is this, sliced liver? What are we, sliced liver? No, we're human beings who want to stand up for something. I know that's what we're all here for. I thank God for being here today with you. But I also know that being here with you and among ourselves, we have an obligation to stick to this resolve of making sure that our poor brothers and sisters are treated with respect. Then we'll know, when we see that happening, when we see others working so that that can happen, then we'll know that the Spirit of God, whether it's Christian, Jewish, Buddhist, Hindu, or whatever, is truly alive and well in us. And by the way, dear Nancy, keep your barges. Keep them. We don't need them in Hunter's Point. What we do need there is decent housing. Please, leave the good housing here where it was originally built and allow people who are struggling to come up and accept some level of degree, of decency in their life rather than just the streets to live here too. Let's open the gate of this gated community, the Presidio. God bless us all.
And that was Father Kurt Obrey. The march stopped at several spots along the way, almost like a pilgrimage, at a chapel, at officers' housing, and each spot there was a sort of an orientation given, several speeches and prayers. And along the way, I interviewed several folks in the march. As I said, it was the largest homeless march that I've ever been in. And very impressive. Even more impressive on reviewing videotapes later. One of the videographers was good enough to show me her videotape, which was somewhat out of focus and somewhat overexposed, but what was clear at almost every point was the depth, the sincerity, the determination, and the peacefulness of the commitment by 99% of the people in the demonstration. And I'm sort of critical of conservative folks who move slowly on these issues, and occasionally I found myself a little annoyed with the leadership of the march for different reasons, but on looking back, on viewing the whole thing that they created, that we all of us created, of course, but that several people particularly helped to organize, I was most impressed.
Keep on walking forward. Keep on walking forward. Never turning back. Never turning back. Gonna keep on rocking forward. Keep on rocking forward.
So I'm here with Keith McHenry. Keith,
well, 1 second, sir. Richard,
you handed your tape recorder to San Francisco Liberation reporter Richard Edmondson. What does this mean?
Well, that we're probably going to be arrested, and I wanted to make sure the police didn't steal my tape recorder.
Has that happened in the past?
They never have, but they do break things up a lot, and so I wouldn't be shocked if that happened. Plus, with this many people, it could just get lost, which is not uncommon for law enforcement to lose your stuff.
And what are you recording for? Is it a radio show you're doing?
For San Francisco Liberation Radio, just to make sure we have every base covered. So we'll have two tape recorders going here for the protest to capture what is happening here near the. This is the a protest that's happening near San Francisco Liberation Radio studios.
Really?
Which are right next near to the Presidio, and this is sort of a
a protest happening in our neighborhood. So
you're coming to support your friendly local neighborhood protest.
Right. We're the neighborhood people that come out to the neighborhood protest. I live at 10th and Clement, and that's very close to Waring Housing, about a 10-minute walk to Waring Housing.
And Waring Housing is named after...
I have no idea. Some guy named Waring.
Huh? I see. It's kind of wary of the whole thing.
It is a worrisome sort of thing.
Quite a crowd. We got any estimates on the size?
A couple hundred anyway.
I heard actually 400 mentioned as I was being signed up.
Wow, that's
security guards, so there were 400. And I think they got 110 confirmed arrestees.
Wow, that's great. So that would be good if it breaks the 84 people, the number of 84 last time. Showing that the momentum is building.
Were you, in fact, here last time?
And I was not, no, unfortunately
so now
not.
Now you're making up for your dereliction.
Making up for my dereliction. I haven't even done a Presidio protest in quite some years, although I was organizing the early housing takeovers at Waring Housing with homeside jails. But in the 1995 Waring Housing takeover, I was like up to my eyeballs in other Food Not Bombs organizing around the international gathering, and didn't make it on time to the arrest. So.
Late to your own demonstration.
Yeah,
late to
my own.
Or their demonstration.
Right. Late to the, Food Not Bombs.
I'm frequently late to demonstrations. So. There's been, this week's issue of the San Francisco Bay Guardian talks about the UC police and pepper spray. Have you been following that at all?
It's a very violent, what happened was the Police Review Commission in Berkeley said it was an excess of force.
Were you present for that?
And I was not. I did not see any of that. I saw TV footage of the beatings and the pepper spray, and very, very vicious. And
actually, even the Chronicle, or I believe perhaps it was the student newspaper, the Daily Cal, reported that police actually beat people with their batons.
They did. You could see clearly in the videos, overhead swings into people, very violent and really brutal. And the photos in the Chronicle were very brutal as
and
well.
Thank you, Keith.
Thank you. Okay.
The National Park Service says it would not be appropriate to rent the Waring Housing area to poor and homeless people. At the same time, it has plans to rent luxurious officers' housings like these at $1,500 to $4,000 a month. If rich people can live in the Presidio, why can't poor people?
Anybody who knows me knows that I'm not usually a cynical person. But standing here, looking at these homes, and knowing that the Waring Housing are slated to be demolished,
Reverend Karen,
my cynicism is going to show. Because I'm not surprised that it's come to this, really. I'm not surprised that you and I are standing here once again. Somebody must point out the contradiction. Will it be you?
Yes.
Somebody must show the lack of logic. Will it be you?
Yes.
Somebody must point out the poor judgment. Will it be you?
Yes.
Someone must stand up against the injustice of it all. Will it be you?
Yes.
How can there be a plan in place to allow the rich to live here while the poor are turned away homeless still? I'm not surprised that it's come to all this, that we are standing here, members of San Francisco's religious community. There is a moral imperative and a moral urgency to our being here. When thousands of our sisters and brothers, men, women, and children, are left to survive on our city streets, some of whom will die before the year's out. When resources exist to ensure shelter for at least some of this, we have no choice but to stand here and ask, why not, why can't the poor live in the Presidio? I'm not surprised that it's come to this, that you and I are standing here, standing for something, standing up for our sisters and brothers, standing against the powers and principalities that ignore the cries of the poor. There is something seriously flawed in a society, in a government, in a city, in a trust, when people of privilege determine the place of the poor. And so it has come to this. And we will stand here and keep knocking at the door. We will stand here and keep praying for justice. We will stand here and put our very selves on the line and we will ask the hard questions.
Yes.
And we will stand before the powers and principalities that be, and we will keep persistently knocking until justice prevails.
Amen.
As a religious community, do we have any other choice?
No.
Here at 310 passing Funston Avenue and Presidio Boulevard after the third stop on this vigil, this prayer march to reclaim housing, save it from destruction so it can be used for homeless people in San Francisco. There are more than 15,000. People again are carrying crosses, carrying stars, painted white. This, I guess, is the longest stretch of the march we're about to walk down. It's to Wherry Housing, the actual housing that's slated to be demolished. The crowd is mostly white, mixed, I'd say, equally men and women. Not too many television crews that I've seen. I think there was a camera or two at the beginning, and there may be quite a line of folks here. Very little police presence. There's one motorcycle cop at the very end. And as we pass the officers' housing, the sprinklers are in full tilt, trying to spruce up the lawns for the well-to-do renters that are first going to be coming later. And there's a real mixture of young and old, though no children that I've seen at the rally. Beautiful area we're walking through. Sycamore trees. What kind of trees we got here? Here we got our tree expert, Becky Johnson.
Oh, gosh. Well, we have some towering eucalyptus.
Sycamore of any kind?
No, I don't see any.
Strike that. Eucalyptus, not sycamore.
And Monterey cypress, which is indigenous only to this part of the Central California coast.
And Becky, you're videoing this. Any comments on the rally that you noticed so far? Anything strike you?
It seems to be a very orderly, composed group of truly committed individuals who have gone to the step of agreeing to be arrested as a show of the people's will in that this housing should be provided for the homeless among our midst. It's such a chronically difficult situation, and the housing is available, the public owns it, it's only just.
Right. Yeah, there are very nice programs of made up, little four-page green programs, plus a purple insert which gives the history of the attempts to negotiate this whole issue with the federal government. Any comments about this march? Anything, for example?
I think the turnout is outrageous. Hey. I'd like to see this in San Jose.
Hey.
Yes.
Or a fifth of this.
Yeah.
How many came up with you from San Jose?
About 20. We rented a little caravan because we needed some more space.
And how many of you intend to risk arrest?
I don't think too many from our group today because we have a trial on the 22nd, still pending charges on the last arrest.
Uh-huh.
So probably we're going to be witnessing today, but not getting arrested.
Some of the religious witnesses.
Yes, right. And I think they have enough people.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm one of them.
But you never know. Sometimes the spirit moves you, so nobody's really...
You just might step out. You never can tell. Troublemaking person that you are.
Yes, right.
You haven't done this walk before because...
No, the last time we started at a different gate from the Presidio and went up to the housing. I don't know where we are. I just know we're in the Presidio.
So we're following the leaders. We hope they're leading us in the right direction.
That's right.
In any case, it's a nice day for a walk.
Yeah. Who else came from San? Just you guys from San Jose?
Me and Becky.
Wow.
That's all we could get. But
yeah.
You guys are good at organizing them when you can get them together. Congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. We've got a good crew. We're all doing security.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So I see you have your gun with you there,
yeah.
Your invisible gun.
Yeah.
Thanks, Nancy.
Nancy, of course, had no gun. She was with the San Jose Community Homeless Alliance, which brought up a busload of people from San Jose. And tomorrow is having, on May 26th, is having a demonstration at noon in San Jose in front of the Fairmont Hotel, a prayer and a meal for homeless people in protest of the anti-sitting laws recently passed in San Jose. But let's continue. Those who want more information on that, give a call to the San Jose Community Homeless Alliance at 408-345-2353. And these demonstrations will be continuing throughout the summer, a very draconian anti-sitting law. Now back to the Presidio demonstration.
All right, the next...
I think you're right. I think this is the last stop.
It's the fourth prayer site. We got Buddhist, Mindfulness, Bell, Maylee Scott, and Father Louis Vitale will be speaking.
On the stairs.
I'm going to move a little bit away from the speaker so it doesn't blow up my machine here.
Yeah. Keep singing. Let's get all our crowd up here. We got to get off the highway back there. Come on, everybody. We got a very big crowd here. There's hundreds and hundreds of people out there. Welcome. There is a double, as some of you may have caught, there's a double indication in the way that housing is handled here. And that is that the Hawaii housing has been seen as too poor to use for housing. But this housing is on the market. The poor housing is going to be torn down. This will run for something like $4,000 a month. So the rich can be here, but not the poor. So have I got everybody's attention? I want to say something on behalf of the leadership here. Because we are going to present something to you at this moment. How many people here are going to risk arrest? All right. Most of you are sort of in the front of the crowd. It's very difficult, the situation at Wherry Housing. We've tried before, and they've got it very, very tightly boarded up and nailed shut. So instead of trying to get this huge crowd of people over there, we have decided those who are willing to risk arrest to just approach this house. Maybe we can get inside, or maybe we can just get up on the steps. So please, follow me. To this house, this beautiful house, we'll pay the first $4,000. You're all invited in. Those who wish to risk arrest.
So we're approaching 548B, heading for the porch of...
No, we're not breaking it.
Don't break it.
It's open. You don't need to do anything. Don't break anything.
So we're here at the porch at 548B. And a fellow with... An angrily painted face is on the porch, and we're going around to the back to check out what's going on. I think one individual among us has found a way in. Police officer is pulled up on a motorcycle.
Power to the people!
And we're entering this nice, commodious house. Looks like it's got sinks and kitchen space. That looks like the windows are nailed shut. So some of us are in, but some of us are not. And I guess it's a nice-looking house. From the back window here, we can see people are still coming in single file as a park ranger and police officer observe the process. There's a police officer on an adjacent piece of property as well. And photographers are taking pictures. So far, there has been no move to stop people from coming into the house. It's 325 here on the second floor. And welcome to your new digs. People are continuing to come into the house. And it looks like an open house here. Let's see if the water works. We have a water here that's available.
And indeed, there were no arrests for about 2 hours. And in the course of that time, the water was turned down. One of the toilets became usable, although a broken pipe in the cellar made it a difficult situation until some strapping tape or some... tape was secured for that. And the house was very hot inside. until we were able to open one of the windows, at which point one of the park rangers attempted to arrest the person who opened the window. But that was abandoned because there were so many people committed to peaceful civil disobedience, perhaps, that had they attempted to arrest a person at that point, they would have had to deal with 100 other arrests of people sitting down around that person. These were people ready to go to jail, 110 of them committed. And the arrests finally came 2 hours later, as you'll hear, when demonstrators let themselves be wooed out of the house for a press conference. And at that point, the police moved to seal off the house because they learned that at least 50 or 60 of the demonstrators, many of them high-profile, respectable religious leaders from the San Francisco community of many different faiths, were going to be staying in the house overnight. People had gone to get food, had gone to get blankets and so forth. And the authorities moved, while folks, most of them were out of the house, to quickly seal it. Though, ironically, when they did this, some of the police officers in the front were sympathetic enough to the demonstrators to allow at least 10 or 15 people to climb through the window into the house to then be symbolically arrested. It isn't really symbolic. They were charged with two misdemeanors, punishable each by up to, it's either $500 or a $1,000 fine and a year in jail. This is, again, a federal crime, and it will go to federal court because they were on federal property, or we were on federal property. And 40-odd people were arrested, something like 45, 46 people arrested, though there were dozens more who tried to be arrested by sitting on the porch of the building. They were not arrested. They were ignored. They eventually went into the street and attempted to peacefully sit down and block traffic in order to make their point and secure solidarity with those in the house who were arrested. In the course of this, a hostile driver on the Presidio base, a man and a woman, drove through the crowd, injuring the knee of one of the demonstrators. He attempted to stop the car, first by persuasion and then by pounding the roof of the car, and as a consequence, the car sped up, flinging him to the ground where he rolled over several times. He demanded that a citizen's arrest be made of the driver. The police, the park police, did stop the driver but refused to make the arrest. And when he insisted on it, and he was doing so loudly but peacefully, they arrested him instead. And as I stood by witnessing this, they demanded that I leave the area. I refused to do so because he was in need of a witness, and he specifically asked me to stay. The head of the park service for the Presidio then arrested me for disorderly conduct, and I was hauled off to the holding area and released 3 hours later with that charge. And I'll be going to court on that charge, along with other protesters on their charges, on the 5th of June, Thursday, in federal court. I think it's 9 o'clock in the morning for all of you early birds who want to wing your way up to San Francisco to watch what happens to us at the arraignment. Usually a rather tiresome and tedious process. It's only the first in many pointless hearings that cost taxpayers and the government a lot of money. Actually, we, the demonstrators, are trying to save the government money by stopping them from demolishing Wherry housing. They've already demolished numerous units of housing and at a very expensive cost. Apparently it costs more to demolish a housing unit than I was aware of. Anyway, let's continue to hear some bits of the demonstration. We don't have a lot of time left on this show, so I kind of wanted to sum it up for you. That's what happened at the Presidio on Sunday, May 18th, and assumedly it's going to happen again until the Presidio, the military authorities, and the government get the message that they can't destroy housing when homeless people in the millions are a problem, are a reality in American cities, and they need housing. National Park Service has plans to put the officers' housing that we occupied, for instance, on the open market for rental rates anywhere from $1,500 to $4,000 monthly. And if you'd like more information from the group that organized this demonstration, the Religious Witness with Homeless People, give a call to 415-885-6401. That's 415-885-6401. You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, or a distant broadcast from Free Radio Santa Cruz in another city. My name is Bathrobes Pierre Robert Norse. I take that name because I customarily wear a bathrobe at demonstrations to demonstrate my solidarity with homeless people, carry my teddy bear with me, because homeless people are not only denied housing, they are actually not allowed to sleep at night in San Francisco. Under Mayor Willie Brown, Whitewash Willie, as I call him, it is twice as difficult. There are twice as many arrests of homeless people for sleeping under his so-called liberal policy as there were under the policy of the mean, more conservative, supposedly, Mayor Frank Jordan. Let's continue with the Presidio for the rest of the tape. And if you have any questions or if you want to make any comments on this, do give me a call at 408-423-4833. And if you have any, if you want to get any of the numbers you may have missed, give a call to that master number and I'll get back to you, 408-423-4833.
A couple of federal officers have arrived. They look like federal officers. What do you think, Terry? Federal officers?
Yeah.
40, I'm going to survey the property
the
outside.
Sitting around the lawn outside. The crosses are being gathered up.
Morgan.
I think the names of the dead homeless people for the last few years are being read. What names are being read?
Excuse me?
What are names are being read?
These are people who have already passed on and who are still here
Jack
in spirit with us.
Presente. Thomas Fisher. Presente. Robert Watkins. Presente.
There's still at least 50 or 60 folks inside the house as a rally gathers force in front, about 150 or 200 people. Some horse police are now arrayed at the back of the house. Seven looks like men, maybe six men and one woman on horseback, and police officer chewing gum standing next to his motorcycle, and of course
he's trying to organize a group to go to Weary Housing, take over more housing.
Telling us that we don't have a right to have food, we don't have a right to have shelter. People just need to start moving in. The more people we bring in and move into these houses, the easier this is going to be. We need, right now, the time for hesitating is through. Man, this is the 30th anniversary of the Summer of Love. It's time for the people to stand up for the people.
A lot of scurrilous Palo Alto person. Olivia is trying to fend off the tape recorder.
What the? Hi.
Update from Palo Alto, perhaps.
No, it's been pretty slow. The Food Not Bombs meals aren't really happening because Purusha's not there, so protests are still sort of happening, but the numbers are few.
Anything happened last Wednesday?
I don't think there is a meal. I mean, there's this spoon meal that's going on, but I think a couple same old people, you know, a handful of people are still down at Lynn Plaza protesting. Other than that, I haven't heard anything.
How about Shaq? Are they still meeting?
Yeah, we're still meeting, but Shaq's always meeting, but we're going through this transitory stage right now. So
transitional stage.
This is why I haven't called you back and updated you, because
he's shrinking away from the machine.
Palo Alto last month in April was the scene of a large homeless demonstration, or I should say demonstration of supporters of homeless people opposing the Palo Alto Sit Lie ban, a somewhat less harsh law than San Jose's, which is due to face opposition on Monday the 26th, that's tomorrow, for all of you who are hearing the original broadcast. But Palo Alto had, 150 people doing a candlelight parade, sitting down on Palo Alto's University Avenue on April 24th, and, of course, being ignored by the police. These were respectable people who didn't really face the consequences that homeless people face when they sit down in Palo Alto, though, truth to tell, Palo Alto has not yet had an arrest of a homeless person for sitting that I've heard of, but that probably is in the cards coming up, and we're going to be doing more reports on that on future editions of Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides, the civil rights show that you're listening to now.
And what's your name, sir?
My clown name is Laughter, but my real name is John DeVault. And all my friends call me Chewy.
Well, Chewy, what's happening here? You've surveyed the scene from the attic to the basement. Now, what's your analysis?
Well, my analysis is it's time for the people to move into their houses. I already live in one, and I welcome anybody to come after this is done that wishes to move into a house.
The Weary Housing?
No, this is over at Fort Scott. I live in one of the old officers' quarters.
How far away is it?
You know where Fort Scott is, right at the foot of Golden Gate Bridge.
So, let's say, how far?
About a 10-minute walk that way.
And you broached this to the leaders of the rally?
Well, I'm trying to figure out who the leaders are. Bernice, I know, but I don't know anybody else.
Your face is rather gaily painted in black, a black peace sign, white, red, and blue. Is this some sort of patriotic analysis?
No, it's actually that's white, green, blue, and red, and black. It's a sign of peace. It's a symbol of peace.
So what's your analysis of the rally that's happened today here, Chewy? Is it too little, too much, too big?
No, it needs to be, it's a beginning, but it needs to get bigger. It needs the action of people moving into the houses.
How long have you lived in Fort Scott?
Well, I got busted there twice last year, and I've been living there all since 1, 2, 3 weeks now, because I went to Mexico for a while.
And are you doing this alone, or are other people living
there? Well, right now I'm alone. I had some people living with me, but they moved out. They decided to move some other place. I'm wanting to get a community started there. There's an old bowling alley that could be made into a free store. You can get all kinds of free food. You can get all kinds of free clothes. People throw it away. Just walk down the street at night.
Now, Fort Scott is part of the abandoned Presidio.
Yeah. And there's an old bowling alley that could be made into a free store. There's an old church there that there's a group here that's interested in it. And I know where there's 10 buildings open right now that people could just move into.
Maybe you should talk to some of the leaders of this group who are more militant in that regard,
yeah.
Maybe you can get something going.
Yeah.
And both the man I was interviewing and I were arrested along with 40-odd other people and will, as I say, be facing federal charges in court, most people for trespass and violating a park permit law. They actually arrested the man who was hit by the car and let the owner go, refusing to make a citizen's arrest. You've been listening to Bathrop Spear's Broadside, Civil Rights from the Poor, a show originating from Santa Cruz, California. In Santa Cruz, you can hear that show every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. You can call in to get your own voice on the air at 408-423-4833.